Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Hello, welcome back to the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise show. This is Patrick Johnson. I'm your host. I'm joined again by Roger Severson, and we're having a lot of fun just putting this show together as the episodes roll out. And the goal, as I've mentioned, and I'll probably come up with some clever intro to this, but truly the goal here, without being as succinct as I would be in that intro, is that you come away from the show with something of value, that your life is enhanced in one of three primary dimensions, your health, your wealth, your wisdom, with this show. And because this Wealth Partner offering is rooted in financial services, we're starting the first couple of shows with just a little bit about that, more what's going on in the financial services realm. Last time we talked about the fiduciary obligation and the difference between the fiduciary standard and the suitability standard. And the idea there was to empower you with a way of understanding those two paradigms so that you can go back to your current counsel and just ask and make sure that you get satisfactory questions or satisfying questions. And then in this episode, I asked Roger to join me again because he was so... excited in the first time that we met, and it just gave me a new appreciation for our firm and why we are different. And he thought it might be fun for us just to lean into that. I'm a little reluctant to do that because it sounds like it's pitchy, you know, or trying to sell our organization, which I'm not. I mean, we do bring a lot of value, but in explaining how we set ourselves up, the way that we set ourselves up, there are lessons for the listeners to get clarity around, oh, that makes sense. That structure should be in place. Do I have that structure? You know, beyond just the broad stroke of fiduciary or suitability standard, maybe we give the listeners something more tactical and tangible that they can hold on to and make sure that they're getting value for the fees that they're paying. So that is the idea of today's show. Did I tee that up pretty well?
No, yeah, that's okay. I like the idea of digging in because, again, that was what fascinated me about Wealth Partner is that, you know, I had walked into the meeting expecting that it was going to be a pretty typical meeting, and it was not. And once we started digging into the different layers of what you guys offer, it started to, you know, make sense to me that, you know, it's not just all about your money. It's about your relationships. It's about health. It's about happiness and all of those things. So you went through some trauma, let's just say, in your life a while back. We're going to get into that backstory because I think that's fascinating. But understand that the launch point of you putting together the structure of your firm was based on events in your life that made you kind of rethink this whole approach on financial planning and
what wealth is,
what wealth is, and happiness. So, if you want to touch on that, or go as deep into that as you want, because I find the backstory pretty interesting.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, so I guess we're meant to go there. I thought we were going to talk about the structure of the tactical delivery, but it's. You know, it might be helpful for the listeners just to get more insight into my heart and spirit, but this is going to be fun. Okay, so Roger just takes to the soul level. I love that. the structural is important. We do want you to walk away with something tactical around that, but the spirit behind Wealth Partner and how it came into existence, I can weave this all together, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll weave my personal story, which will culminate with why Wealth Partner, but the story really starts with the founding of SRS Capital Advisors back in 2005. And I'll probably get Dave down, the principal. We're good friends, and he's the founder and owner of the firm. But we were brokers together, and we talked about the suitability standard, fiduciary standard some time ago. And Dave's just committed to this profession. He is committed to making sure people are getting just a fair shake, and that he wakes up every morning and can look his wife and his boys in the eyes and feel like daddy's proud of what he does, you know? And we weren't feeling that. And I don't want to name the brokerage, doesn't really matter. But we weren't feeling that. And we were at an awards banquet out in San Diego, and he just was, Patrick, I'm done with this. And we did enough production to where we didn't get much pressure from our sales managers. Really, we could kind of do what we want. So there is leeway within those organizations, but it was a little bit of a fight, a little bit of a struggle. We just got tired of what we would call the sales culture. And so we wanted to hang our shingle as fiduciaries. The timing just didn't feel right. We were pretty young at the time. I needed to earn my stripes. He was looking to get an MBA in finance because he was thinking about running money for a big mutual fund. That was the big business at the time. Now it's kind of moving away from mutual funds. But regardless, he was interested in that. But he has a heart for the human being. And just running the numbers wasn't entirely satisfying. And yet he has that aptitude. Well, fast forward, he got an MBA from a top 5 B school. I had gone off to work for a big super regional bank in the Southeast called SunTrust. Really enjoyed my experience there. Sat under a brilliant financial planner. She's still, I consider her a true mentor. Just wonderful experience earning my stripes as a financial planner. Dave had earned his stripes in a very real sense, having worked in the business for a long time, but then also getting a finance degree and working with some other really smart guys to come up with some theories, market theories. And so we had stayed in touch. I was hitting the glass ceiling at the bank. He was getting job offers that weren't attractive. And we were just like, why don't we just start our own thing? So that was and he really drove that. I have no question about it. But at the time it was Simon Davis, Brokerage Services. We just wanted to charge a percent, use updated investment modalities, bifurcate the firm so that on the one hand, you have somebody watching your money real time all the time. Or investment committee or an individual. And this at the time was groundbreaking. You know, this was very progressive. And now you hear a different flavor of the same story, it feels like. But back in 2005, so we built that. Our philosophy was indexing. The data is now out that it seems very few, if any, money managers with the way the markets move today can consistently and predictably outperform a benchmark. So we just use the benchmarks, but we blend the benchmarks with our special sauce, you know, but that keeps costs and fees down. And so that really was Dave's thing. He loved that. I've always loved the financial planning side. So I was working as a financial planner at SunTrust and doing very well. I was with the trust department. I was kind of seeing it all. And I was ready to launch and spread my wings. So moved the family back out here. And we started telling the story of Simon Davis. And it kind of fell on deaf ears, a few pats on the head. You know, we went from 20 million to 100 million, which was a good run rate. Don't get me wrong, but we were young, very ambitious guys. And we were hoping for more. And we were pointing out, look, the market is increasingly more connected. The diversification looks different or should look differently today. And this is asset allocation is a whole other conversation that we could have. Just why do those slices of the pie look the way that they do? And why don't they move when the markets are moving is a big question a lot of clients have, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pointing that out. We were pointing out that the markets are increasingly correlated. There is something brewing. You really need to have, one, somebody watching your money real time. Two, you need to have the ability to move very nimbly on a platform so they're managing on a discretionary basis. Now, this was just our philosophy, but this was our pitch. And wrap all that up in good financial planning. Don't just go ask somebody to manage your $1 million. Understand, make sure they understand the context, the thought, what your goals are, what the objectives are, and help you think that through if possible. So we set up, again, as money managers and financial planners, as fiduciaries, and we structured the firm so that we could give good fiduciary counsel that was in the client's best interest, but we had to be able to stand by what we were putting together, and then 08 happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when we were really on the map, because we moved to cash. Now, we don't ever want to do that again, but we're now managing close to $1.5 billion. We could still be almost that nimble, but there was a Monday morning when Lehman was on the ropes, and I think it was B of A was buying Merrill. I mean, it was just this terrifying. And we look at it this way. For our clients, is there enough upside potential in the trade to warrant the downside risk? And there was a Monday morning when the downside risk was almost unlimited, you know, and we thought, no, there's not. So we went to cash. And now then the big question is, when do you get back in and all that? But I think that day we picked up several points on the market, and just people felt better in their souls. We sent out a note, hey, investors, clients, you know, this is what we've done. We hope you're okay with that. And everybody was. That was a terrifying season. But that's what really put us on the map, started to grow. And that led to, let's see, so to 5, 6, 7. I think I joined Dave in 7-ish, 8, 9, 10. Fast forward to 2010. And then I'll tee this up and we'll go to the break. And then this will be the personal side. So with the success we were having, I was running the financial planning. So I was really just one of the only financial planners at the end of the day. There was no division at the time. And I was just doing financial planning. Dave was running the money and also running an insurance brokerage. He was the owner and the founder, or the owner of it anyway, that he had purchased out of B school. And I was running that for him. And we were helping agents do big cases so that if an insurance salesman stumbled into a case they really didn't know how to structure. We were very good at advanced case design. So they would come to us, they'd run the business through us, and we'd make a little bit on the override, help the client better. So it was an interesting, different kind of business at the time, but we were gathering assets under management. 2008 happened, got on the map in a big way. I got on a few boards. I end up very involved in board seats within the financial planning community. I'm running the businesses. I'm feeling overwhelmed. 2008 had just happened. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in the recovery. I was a father of 2 young children. I wanted to protect them. So swirl, and I'm missing my family back in the Southeast. So swirl all that around for a minute. And we were worried about things like peak oil or energy, being good stewards. It bothered us that our food came from 3,000 miles away or whatever it was. So just young parent, kind of angsty, wanting the best for the world. And I wrote a novel about this, if anybody's interested, oneconsciousbreath.com. And I'll leave that as a teaser into the next segment, because that's what happened. We, with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, left a very successful business here in Colorado. I maintained my existing client base. I never left the firm. The firm was always very good to me, and we were growing at the time. But I maintained my existing clients, and we moved to raw land in Georgia and started an organic farm. And that was the birth of what is now Wealth Partner. So how does that feel as a breaking point? What do you think?
I think there's a lot of suspense here as to how this thing is going to turn out. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And on the other side, we're going to continue the story of, you know, the genesis, how Wealth Partner got started. We'll be back right after this.
The Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Show is underwritten by Wealth Partner, a unique wealth management firm based in Colorado Springs. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. We believe prudent stewardship of one's financial life is critical to overall well-being, and this is where we begin our relationship with clients. Our highly personalized financial planning process is designed to reduce stress so clients can more fully enjoy all the dimensions of their true wealth. And to help clients thrive, we also offer powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based health and well-being services. Wealth Partner is a rapidly growing company, which has evolved out of an award-winning fiduciary wealth management firm, currently managing well over $1 billion in client assets. And our offering is priced at a fraction of the cost of most firms. If this unique approach to wealth management interests you, please visit our website at www.wealthpartner.com. That's wealth spelled W-E-L-L-T-H, W-E-L-L-T-H partner.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. Patrick Johnson with Wealth Partner is with me. And when we went to break, we were getting ready to find out what the genesis of the creation of Wealth Partner. And for those of you who may not know or haven't heard a couple of the other episodes that we've done, they have a whole different approach on wealth management that's not just about money, but it's also about health and happiness and relationships. And it's fascinating. And to me, that's what really drew me in. So where we left off, you now are an organic farmer down in Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the story, I mean, I can hold court with the stories. You know, I didn't know how to hang a faceplate on a light switch or if carrots grew off trees or out of the ground. I mean, it was really just, let's do this and let's have some fun. And there was a sense of urgency, like I said, at the break or right before the break. You know, I was concerned about the state of things. I was concerned for clients. I was concerned for my family. And so there was an urgency in all of this, but it led to this beautiful season of adventure and change and something that I'd always wanted to do that really was my retirement goal. To just go cut down trees, a forest, and have a sawmill there on the property. And, you know, a few weeks later, it's a chicken coop or a barn or whatever. And that's what we did. And if people are interested, I really think that I wrote some of the better stories into the novel, just as the one that that comes to mind was the first time I went into Ace Hardware to buy a couple of chainsaws. And, you know, hardwood twists and grows, and it's hard. And you don't just go up to an oak tree and chop it down because there could be tension in the trunk that it could snap off the trunk and kill you. Or the way that the limbs are, you know, if they're heavier toward the sunny side, it's going to fall that way. I didn't know any of this stuff. I mean, I had cut down a couple of pine saplings, you know, in the backyard that were a little bit in the way of my view, but I had never like done real work like that. And I have so much respect for the trades. I mean, I followed, so we would do that. I'd go out there and cut down trees and tack them up in the chicken coops, et cetera, in the woods, just working all the time. And then finally we were ready for some rework on a little cabin that was on the property and needed some journeyman carpenters and electricians. And they just happened to come in. I think the synchronicity was unbelievable. Just the resources that were brought around me. And this is all in the story. But for me, in my day to day, all I knew was I was exhausted. I was lacing on another pair of work boots that were looking really well worn very quickly. But I would tell these guys, because I would watch them work. They were just in a flow, man. The way they would rip a board right after calling off a measurement, and then the way that the wiring, they always talked about it like river, and they were brilliant. And I was the finance guy, just barely holding on. But I said, guys, look, here's the deal. I want to learn how to plumb a house, wire a house, put a house up for that matter, roof it, etc. So y'all are on point, and I will follow you around. I'll clean up your cigarette butts and your drops. But when I pause and say, why did you make the cut that way? Then remember who's writing the checks. Yeah. Like that was the deal, right? And we became great friends. I mean, I still think one of them actually just passed terrible. It's tough life.
Yeah.
And then another one is just a wonderful man who I stay in touch with. But all that's to say, all this beautiful season for me with this new dimension of my being in the world. And then my wife was loving just the garden and the animals and the homeschooling, the children. I mean, it was as idyllic as you can imagine. And then this farm that we created, this little farmstead, it was just the most, it was right out of a picture book. And you know, right on the border of Georgia, Tennessee, lush pond, animals grazing happily. Like, I mean, a true red roof, little stacked stone cabin. We built the whole thing. It was so satisfying, Roger. I built the whole thing. But I had had some attrition with my business. That wasn't great. But what I also learned during that season was that about 90% of my headaches day to day were a certain percentage of my, were basically the clients that left, you know, yeah. And they left because they wanted somebody local. And I get that. I mean, local counsel is preferred for most people. And so when that started to happen, though, I was a little bit scared, ultimately, I realized, oh, I love that clients don't care where I am. I could be on my tractor or in my office, but so long as I'm there for them, that's what mattered. So it was stabilizing, the business was, and I was okay with where things were. But what started to freak me out a little bit was that I just couldn't keep numbers right in my head. I just couldn't. And Jenny started to notice it. And there was one time where I couldn't walk. Like, my knees just locked up. And my elbows started and excruciating headaches. We'd put the kids to bed. This is over the course of 6 months, just getting increasingly worse. I was chalking it up to, well, I'm hitting 40 and my parents had RA and, you know, there's just getting older and it's hard labor and all this. Fast forward, I'm standing in the chicken coop with an egg gathering basket and I cannot remember why I'm there. And it was because Jenny had sent me out to gather the eggs. There was something really wrong. So we went to a doctor, had Lyme disease. Bedridden for a couple of years. And I mean, just this devastating season financially, because never that's covered with insurance. My business was fine, but it wasn't fine enough to be absorbing those kinds of costs, deeper into personal debt, on and on. So that was a very scary season. I lost my health and was losing my money. All the cash was going into the farm or my recovery. It was a devastating season. And then I was really struggling with my faith. And we'll probably talk a lot about this in the spiritual dimension on the show, but that was my bedrock. That absolute, the purpose of my being was to know and be known by God. And I had related to that story through, or that heart's desire through evangelical Christianity. And that was not satisfying me anymore. It's just, I'm a brutally honest person, more so with myself than anybody. But I just couldn't resolve the anger and frustration and tension that I was living in, even with my beautiful circumstances. But this anger and tension, while claiming to have relationship with the God of love and peace. And I was living from fear. And I just, as I went down this road of why, I ended up with a deconstructed faith. And ultimately to be reconstructed, I still prefer the Christian story, but that led to a fallout in my marriage, which became really challenging. I mean, you can imagine if you build your family on certain tenets and your marriage, then when that is just, that rug's ripped out from under you. I mean, my wife is, you know, they say that she's the better half. Like, I mean it. She is wonderful. And that's all in the book, in the novel as well. But we're in this really challenging time. Is my business going to thrive while I'm out here on the farm and traveling back once a month for work? Or are we going to be able to afford this? Are we the treatment? Where am I really going with Lyme? Am I going to end up bedridden forever or in a wheelchair, like fighting those negative tendencies? And then with my faith, that crumbling, and then what that led to in my family life, it just suddenly felt like everything is falling apart. And so in my heart, I was just coming undone. It was Dark Night of the Soul, Joseph Campbell's arc, you know, that we all go through. But for me, it was getting really, really dark. And then my son got really sick. His lungs started turning to cardboard. And we found out that we were very ill as a family. We couldn't stay at the farm because of our body's inability to process molds. There's a much more scientific way to explain that. But bottom line is we had to just up and walk away. Handed the keys to a buddy of mine and said, I don't know what we're doing. We're moving back out to Colorado because there's less mold. And we have some ideas on how we could get better. Well, fast forward another year and we're better than ever. So now we sell the farm at a horrible loss and all this. And I'm out here $500,000 or whatever it was in debt, you know, personal debt. Like, hey, Roger, can I borrow $10,000 and I might be able to get you back if I get well, kind of debt, like, you know, scary stuff. Yeah. So I'm beaten down bad, but then I have this moment and that's the one conscious breath. This is the thing in the book where I just breathe and I was met by God, one with the universe. Like, I don't care what kind of language you have for it. Saved, Satori moment, but life was never the same. And we got through all of that. Just, it's like this old Buddhist saying that yeah, you know, this awareness is like regular life. You're just floating 2 inches off the ground. So you're still dealing with all this stuff. You just have a different relationship with it. And that led to my real exploration of mindset and headspace and a different kind of spirituality and a different way of relating with our ground of being that was wildly transformative for me. Now, I was given a great grace of my spontaneous remission with the Lyme, which was really helpful. But then also this grace and this sense of intimacy with all that is. But at the same time, and I'm just speaking my truth. I mean, it might sound crazy, but it's important to me to put it out there because this way of being and seeing the world is real. And it is powerful. And it's what I believe Jesus was calling us to, metanoia, just see differently, this kingdom, this different way of being. Well, I was in the wealth management business and all I wanted to do was tell this message. You know, there's this kingdom available to us, this way of seeing differently. And I just wanted to become a life coach or help. And I actually thought I'd go to maybe be a pastor or preacher or something, but I didn't. I found myself as a financial advisor with a practice that was barely holding on, having moved to Georgia and now back to Colorado. And how do I feed my family? You know, is the reality. And how do I pay all my friends off? So I just couldn't move forward just talking the tactical and why we're better with fees and tax planning and retirement planning. It needed to be more about your true wealth. What I had come into a profound awareness about, our wealth is a true rainbow, way more than just the financial dimension. Ah, but in this position that I'm in, if somebody talks to me about their money, they're willing to talk to me about anything. What if I just ask? What if my whole reason for being is just to lift whatever burdens I can for somebody so that they're incrementally more free than to be the light that I know that they are for my own awakening. Like, all I want to do is help people see who and what they are. You know, just connect with this way of seeing, and you're still doing life, but you're just relating to it differently. Okay, well, let's just go back into the captain's chair in my office and start talking with people from the heart. Okay, so this is the incubation of Wealth Partner. And I just started telling people, look, the reason that I do what I do is because I see you as a beautiful light. And the American Psychological Association says that money is the number one stressor in people's lives. I'm one of the guys with white hats. Here's my pedigree. Is there a burden that I can help lift? And yeah, we're great with all the tactical stuff, but how can I help? And, you know, if somebody had a question that I could help them with and we didn't have a long-term relationship, that was fine. But more often than not, it led to some long-term relationships. Because people just could sense that I cared, and the burden was usually financial planning, tax planning, or investment management. So, okay, we took care of that. But in the process, if I'm doing my job right, I've heard about estranged children, fears, hopes, in conjunction with the aspirations, dreams, and all the other that comes with financial planning. But you've got to set up special needs trust. You've got health challenges. You've got these things, if I'm doing my job well, to know how to architect the investments. So I started realizing, wow, there's an opportunity here to lean into these other dimensions of well-being with people. We'll see if they want to go there. So I got some training in life coaching, and I just started asking a little deeper question, and people were willing to go there. And so that led to this incubation stage, feeling out the word track, see where this goes. But it created a halo effect for my SRS, Capital Wealth Management practice. Fast forward 5 years, and I now have formal offerings in the well-being space. I'm a 2-time certified life coaching professional. We have a health and well-being director. So now we still deliver with the financial counseling, but we have the health and well-being, and we both respect the other, and we're integrated so that we can really help clients lean into all the dimensions of their well-being. And again, with tactical deliverables on the health and well-being side that I think are as powerful and potent as what we have on the investment management and traditional wealth management side. So that's how the firm was birthed. At the outset of this show, we gave a little bit of insight into how discretionary management can be of benefit and using ETFs rather than mutual funds a little bit. But this was more my story in the background and why Wealth Partner formally became in 23 what it is now. We're out of the incubation stage. We're in the proof of concept stage because I'm here to change this industry. If I can put up big numbers, year-over-year growth when the rest of the industry is dying, and it's because we care and we're asking deeper questions, every other wealth management team in the country then hires well-being professionals on the team, and we lean into people's overall well-being and lives are changed.
Wow. I love stories, and I love your story. I mean, and I think that spiritual awakening is such a big part of it, and I'm glad we got to delve into it today. You've been listening to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise, and I got to tell you, I think we hit on all those points today. You know, we'll be back next week with interesting stories and, some technical things about finances and whatnot.
Or maybe spirituality or health.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, we run off into the woods sometimes. We don't even know where we're going.
Right.
But thank you, Patrick, for, sharing with us today. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the affecting of transaction and securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.